You feel the calling of God and think, that's very uncomfortable. Has God ever called you to do something very uncomfortable and you're like, yeah, I don't want to go there? Those are the moments that we are becoming the rival to the work of God's Spirit. Isn't that something? I can remember Pastor Dave had us do this. I'll call it an exercise. He said, you know what? Sometimes we just need to move. And I would see him, he would start to do a little dance on the stage. He goes, come on, everybody, let's just dance around. I'm like, I'm no dancer. Nobody wants to see me dance, believe me. But I had to get out of my comfort zone and just make something happen. Because you know what? Sometimes the move of the Spirit is something that won't always come natural to us. Amen. Sometimes we have to remember this day, and that's what we're going to talk about. We have to remove ourselves out of the equation. Amen? Amen. And I was thinking, as I mentioned prior, I think I mentioned to you before that my daughter and I were at Target when this one young lady decided to start shoplifting in that whole aisle with all the lotions and stuff. You remember, you recall that story? And I just remember, she's justifying what she's doing. And isn't that sometimes what we're guilty of doing? We think, you know what? Whatever sin I'm a part of, I'm just going to find a way to justify it so I don't have to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So what I did that day, as you might remember, was I just thought, what does God's Word say? And I said, Kylie, let's speak God's Word to this young lady, because we were probably 20 feet away at the end of the aisle. And all I could think of is, God's Word says, thou shalt not steal. So what I did was take away the justification to think, I shall go ahead and steal. And somehow you feel okay entertaining those moments. But that is pride, is it not? That is the moment where you say, you know what, actually, I'm not justified by Christ, I'm justified by myself. He has no rival, he has no equal, or does he? Sometimes we might think we can justify our own lifestyles, our own decisions, our own choices. I wanted to read this to you, and it says this, my name is pride. My name is pride, I am a cheater. I will cheat you of your destiny because you demand your own way. I will cheat you of contentment because you deserve better than this. I cheat you of knowledge because you already know it all. I cheat you of healing because you're too full of me to forgive. My name is pride. I cheat you of holiness because you refuse to admit you're wrong. I cheat you of vision because you'd rather look into a mirror than out of a window. I cheat you of genuine friendship because nobody's going to know the real you. I cheat you of love because real romance demands sacrifice. I cheat you of greatness in heaven because you refuse to wash another person's feet on earth. I cheat you of God's glory because I convince you to seek your own glory. My name is pride. I am a cheater. You like me because you think I'm always looking out for you. Not true. I'm looking to actually make a fool of you. God has so much for you. I admit it, but don't you worry. If you stick with me, you'll never know what God has for you. My name is pride. May we never be prideful people, amen? May we always be the ones who are living a born-again life. Hallelujah. And that's the title of this sermon today, is Living Born Again. We're going to take a look at that. I have to tell you, recently, Jana and I have a friend that we've known since the first year we were married, maybe the year before. She's known him a lot longer. And this person has decided to live a life that is totally opposite of Christ. Totally opposite of what God's Word says. And I began to think, how is it that you can feel okay to basically find a way to justify a lifestyle that is not according to Scripture? But this is the moment where we have to realize people can say, I will find a way to justify my lifestyle rather than being justified by Christ and Scripture. And these are the moments we have to be careful with. Because truly, remember when Scripture, Jesus says, the world is kind of crazy. I'm going to ad lib. And he said, and most of these things are hidden from the wise, but revealed to children. May we always be the children of God. Amen? May his Spirit always reveal to us so that we can truly be justified only by Christ and really be the people who are born again. So let's go ahead and look at Scripture here today. I was just going to go to verse 8, but it's so good. As I was driving and looking over Scripture again, I was reading it to Jana and we were talking about it. I feel like we need to go further. So we're going to look at John 3, and I'm going to read it all the way to 21. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born. And then Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and but the Spirit. Hallelujah. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asks. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I lost my place. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but the men loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. God's word says, thou shalt not steal. Into the light, amen? Into the light. Praise God. Well, this is a very important passage of Scripture because truly we are the ones that are called to change our behavior and be nothing like the world, amen? The world is not interested in justifying their behavior. The world is interested in validating it. And that's exactly what they do. And that's what pride is, thinking so highly of yourself, you have no one to submit to. Isn't that what pride is? I'm here. I don't have to submit. Are you surprised the world is as crazy as it is? Be honest. Are you surprised? We live in a time, when you think about it, that even murderers become celebrities. When we were just up in Northern California, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe how much we heard about Scott Peterson, if you remember that story. This guy's like still super famous up there. There's an 80s band I love so much, and the gentleman that sings says, you know, in our world's so crazy that even those that kill, they're given stardom. And he says, and these are the ways on which we are raised. And then when you think about it, and I began to mention in my business, because I've been in jewelry and watches since 1997, I brought you a story of a 74-year-old lady who's one of the most prolific thieves of rings on the strip. Her name is Doris Payne. 74 years old, looks like anybody's grandma. Sweet little lady. But she is a world-renowned ring pincher. Record of thefts, deception, spanning the globe. She goes all over the world, but she also comes to Vegas. And all of us have to be very, very careful. She's done time in Monte Carlo. She's done time in England. She's done parole in Colorado for a ring theft there. She's wanted in California. She comes to Vegas and hangs with us sometimes. You have to be on the lookout for Doris. But guess what? She's so good at what she does, she became famous for her sin. And they're going to do a documentary on her called The Queen of Jewels. Stardom! Hallelujah! She just gained it. Isn't that something? She has four pending criminal cases in Las Vegas, in the Valley. And the one that hit close to home with for me is just across the bridge from the Wynn at the Neiman Marcus location. She stole a $40,000 ring from them. Pretty amazing. And she says, and it says in the article, her skills have been featured in countless newspaper reports. Skills? Did I just read that right? Her sin has been featured in countless newspaper reports and is going to be on the Learning Channel television show titled The Queen of Jewels. The program tells how she's stolen millions over the past four decades of her life. And in Monte Carlo in 1974, when she was able to steal that first initial ring for $40,000, she found a way to escape out of a French jail. When she was arrested in London for a 32,000-pound ring stolen, she was able to slip out of Britain by saying something about abdominal pains, and she found a way to get out and then get on an airplane and get out of there. Authorities say Payne's methods are brilliantly simple. So brilliant. She dresses up like a millionaire. She enters a jewelry store, asks to see multiple pieces, and when the jeweler gets distracted by how many pieces are out, she takes the rings or whatever else she wants, and she leaves the store and goes and pawns them. She's been a target of the FBI, Scotland Yard, Interpol, five aliases, and this is what they say. Payne told the Learning Channel that she is an extremely talented woman. Not sinful. She's an extremely talented woman, and she wondered what she could have accomplished if she had devoted her efforts to a more noble profession. I knew I could have been just as successful on the straight and narrow, and I should have been a lawyer, she says. But you know what? Instead, she ends up getting a movie deal for this type of sinful life. Isn't that something? And these are the ways on which we are raised. Guilty of sin or glorified because of it? This is the interesting thing. So truly, instead of condemning wrongs, we seem to be saying, wow, that person's talented. Maybe one of our favorite movies might even be Catch Me If You Can. If you've ever seen that movie, is this guy a sinful thief tricking people all over earth? Or is he a brilliantly talented, amazing person that we should give a movie to? It's one of these moments. Or we can say, oh, so-and-so got away with, blah, 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 got away with. But the truth is, we get away with nothing when God's Spirit is in the mix. Amen? We get away with nothing. Sometimes it seems, though, like society wants to have its own form of Christianity, our own justification system, our own way of saying, no, it's okay. It's okay. So that's what I wanted to mention first this morning is this. First point to mention today is we do not follow a gospel of affirmation. We are not here to affirm our own sinful desires. Amen? We do not follow a gospel of affirmation. This gospel does not say it bends to our will. Amen? You are not going to be able to change these words. they hold steady. The day that any of us here change anything in this scripture, the day that we try to talk scripture into whitewashing our own sinful decisions and habits, did you make any this week? Did you? You don't have to raise your hand. I know we all did. But the day that we justify that and say scripture is lessened and we are justified more, the day that we add more words to Christ's teaching or try to add little, I don't know, footnotes to our own sinful desires or conveniently bypass parts of scripture that we really wish weren't in there, the day we do that, the day we are committing sinful affirmation. We're not here to affirm ourselves in scripture. We don't want to tell our itching ears what they want to hear. Amen? But people are not interested sometime in the hard work that it takes, when you think about it, of being a better person. Amen? How many times, even at our condos where we live, how many times do we pass each other and we don't even say as neighbors hello to each other? How many times do we just go and do our own thing? Yesterday, I was passing my neighbor and I thought, we're about to pass each other without even saying a hello. So I started it. Sup, dude? Hey, how you doing? Why not? I'm not here to just be someone that's in the world but not in the world and not being a friendly person or not stepping up to the plate. I could have walked by him in 2 seconds. I forced myself to do it. And you know what? I was almost going to walk by just like he was. Meh. Two people walking by. But you know what? I decided to be friendly. I had to force myself to do it too. But we are here truly to be the ones that are impacted by that gospel and change our lives because of it. We need to be the ones truly that sometimes we're not interested in hearing things that Scripture wants to say, like giving. We need to be people that give. Give into people's lives. Give help. Give support. Pray. We need to be the people that also need to know that it's time to stop living in sin. Stop. We also need to be the people that stop addiction. Amen? We need to be the people that tells addiction in our life and then the help of others to stand away. We also need to stop fornication. We need to stop lust. We need to be the ones that are truly surrendered to God's Holy Spirit. This is living born again. Amen? Born and baptized in water and of the Spirit. So guess what that means? Truly, if we're not interested in hearing and obeying Scripture, we are guilty of the sin of sinful affirmation. Truly, I remember one time there was a minister, the very first job I had when I ever had the chance to sell Rolex watches. Back in those times, have you ever heard of a presidential? It's called the presidential. The gold Rolex is called the presidential because I believe it was either Lyndon Johnson maybe wore it and then it became known as the president or the presidential. But I'll never forget this one minister I knew. He was hanging out with his buddies and they all came in. They went right to the gold case. And I remember one of the friends said to the minister, "You know, Bob, I think God wants you to have that Rolex." And I'll never forget, why couldn't God want him to have a Seiko? How do you know? How would you know? But the truth is, what does God really want? I'll tell you what God wants. He just wants us, amen? He just wants us to obey Him. If you love me, obey me. And get the Seiko, maybe. Just kidding. So that is interesting because Christ clearly says in Scripture, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. We have to be renewed people. Isn't that something? Ryan has to disappear. The Spirit of God has to appear in a big way and take over. Hallelujah. Paul's very clear in Romans that we have all faltered to a sin nature, and we have to remember that. And that sin nature has to be denied and what? Crucified on a daily basis to be replaced by spirit nature. Praise the Lord. So we need to remember to speak Scripture and not try to change Scripture. Hallelujah. Second point this morning, if we're rejecting a gospel of affirmation, the second point is we need to follow a gospel of heart transformation. Amen? I need to make sure This word is changing me. I need to be changed. I need Christ. I am a sinner that needs to be saved by grace, and may I never forget that. Hallelujah. If we're truly born again, it means from the moment that we profess to follow Jesus, it doesn't say follow ourselves. Follow our own mindsets. Follow the latest philosophy of the week, whatever it might be. We need to abandon our old life. Amen? We need to abandon it. And we need to begin to live a life that reflects only Jesus. Christ states that no one will enter God's kingdom that is not born of water and of spirit. And notice, this spiritual birth is symbolic. It means that truly, like I said earlier, when we walked in this day, we walk out a new person. Amen? You put off the old and you put on the new. And I think my daughter got that when she was really little. I remember we used to spend so many hours just with the kids. Really, we would practice church at home and do it at church. It was funny. We'd have the kids worshiping God at church and raising their hands. And then one time Kylie hurt her little finger. She must have been like 3 or 4 or 5 years old. And she said to me, she said, "You know what? I prayed over my thumb after I heard it, Dad, and God healed my thumb. He's my best friend. I asked him if he wanted to play. He said yes." Life in the Spirit, amen? Life in the Spirit. If God's going to play with her, that must be truly, in her mind, life in the Spirit. God's Spirit saturating our very lives and our days with us always. The rebirth that is spoken of in Scripture, truly, it shows that we are shaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have not shaped it. We do not do anything other than obey. God loves us too much to leave us where we are, amen? He loves us too much. He doesn't want us to live self-fulfilled lives. He wants us to live fulfilled lives in His Spirit, hallelujah. He cried out all the way to the cross that we would truly live in the Spirit. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isn't that true? You ever seen someone make a dumb mistake in front of you while they're driving? You're like, what a goofball. You don't know what you are doing. We saw this lady the other day. She kept slowing down. She kept speeding up, slowing down, speeding up. I'm like, oh my goodness, this lady doesn't know what she's doing. One moment she's way back here. Next moment she's up there. Then she's slowing down. I'm like, she doesn't know what she's doing. And I started to think, I think you were with me, weren't you, babe? I'm like, look at her. She goes from a Formula One race to a turtle. To a Formula One driver to a turtle. Formula One driver, turtle. And I thought, she doesn't know what she's doing. But truly, we want to be the ones that know what we're doing. We're serving the Lord. We're working every day on being more like Jesus Christ. And I do call it work because I have to force myself to do it sometimes. Amen? It won't come natural because of human and sin nature instincts. I don't want to do it. Take out the trash. I don't want to do it. Make my bed. I don't want to do it. So many things. I got to go to work. I don't want to do it. But truly, we are the ones that need to remember that we are transformed by the gospel. When we think of Paul in Romans and he says, I urge you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, that means I have to barbecue myself. Ryan, go away. Just go away and let Jesus be the one. A living sacrifice. Isn't that something to say? A living sacrifice. Not conforming to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Let me stop there. How many times do you find your mind putting you in the wrong thought pattern? I'm not this. I'm not that. Never been good at, but we have to watch our words because they're powerful. And every time we stop ourselves and say, wait a minute, I need to watch my words and I need to transform my mind and say something different and think something different. What does God's word say? What does His word say? So going into the third thing this morning, the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Isn't that what we all want? Isn't that why we're here? Why do we take vitamins? We want to be healthier. Why do we exercise? We want to be healthier. We want to extend life, whatever it might be. Why do we come to church? We are looking for something bigger in Christ Jesus. Eternity, amen? Eternity, hallelujah. I've asked the Lord, because I'm a condo guy, I don't need a mansion, just a nice condo in heaven, that's all. Give me a nice condo. I always tell the kids that because they, you know, when people talk about heaven, they think you're going to get this great mansion, and I'm like, I'll just take a little three-bedroom condo, little side yard. I'll take that. But I tell you something, it's good to think about heavenly things, amen? It's good to think about what we will have in Christ Jesus, what we've had, what we do have, and what we will have, praise the Lord. But today, a lot of people, they're not interested in repenting. Do you agree? A lot of times they don't feel that there's a God they need to repent to. They don't even see the sin when they do it. Very often they don't want to repent because they don't recognize it. And the truth is, when you stop and think about it, you can imagine how much sin you witness on a daily or a weekly basis. Isn't it a lot? And then when you turn the thought of yourself, you can also think, I'm a part of that. And I wish I wasn't. I work in the Wynn Casino. I see sin all the time because in Vegas, it's not hidden. It's in your face. And that's what I remind people when they come from other places. I say, we have nothing that you don't have in your city. Ours is just in the open. Yours is hidden. But Nicodemus, he came alone at night to speak with Jesus in our scripture. And because Jesus wasn't very popular, that's why he came at night. And nothing's changed for Jesus. Amen. Except for us. We make him popular. The world's like, don't need him. But he comes to visit Jesus at night, and it sounds, when you read it, can you see, when you look at that passage of Scripture, why repentance is a lifestyle for the believer of Jesus Christ? Because we need to remember to mirror repentance all the time and show our children what it's like to need a God that has to forgive us for what we've done. It's good for us to show the world what it's like to be people that can get on their knees and say, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near, John says. It is so near, amen? We're here. It's here with us today. The kingdom of God is with us, within us. But people do not enter heaven or God's kingdom by living better lives. Just by living better lives won't do it. It's by living in God's Spirit, amen? And life in the Spirit must mean that we are born into His Spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on your people today. May we serve you. May we obey you. May we listen to you, Spirit, when you speak to our hearts. May we chase after you. May we spread you amongst this world, this dark world. Charles Stanley, if you've ever read his awesome book, The Wonderful Spirit-Filled Life, he asks this way. He says this way, if the Christian life is simply a matter of doing our best, there was no need to send the Holy Spirit to help us. I'll say that again. If the Christian life is simply a matter of doing our best, there was no reason for God to send the Holy Spirit to help us. Sending a helper presupposes that we need help. Amen? We have to remove pride. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. We need him. Amen? Jesus is hinting at a big truth here. The Christian life is actually impossible. Oh, what did you just say, Ryan? Uh-huh. The Christian life is impossible. It's unattainable apart from the intervention of God's Holy Spirit. It's unattainable. That's why we tap into the Spirit. Not only that, Scripture even says, keep in step with the Spirit. Amen. Keep in step with the Spirit. So the last thing this morning I wanted us to look at is this. The fourth thing, as the world fails and falls apart, is it not? As the world fails and falls apart, we put our trust in the name of the Lord, Jesus. And that name means to save, salvation, a Savior, hallelujah. We put our trust in the name of the Lord. And you remember what Scripture says, some may trust in horses, some may trust in chariots, but I will trust in the name of the Lord. If you want, you can prepare your... I'll read it to you. We're going to look at Psalm 12 very soon. David knew what it was like to deal with the dying and sinful world. And I'm going to read it to you here. Psalm 12. As I read this to you, tell me at the end, has anything changed? Are you ready? Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattering lips speak with deception. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue that says, we will triumph with our tongue. We own our lips. Who is our master? Because of the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times. Lord, you will keep us safe and protect us from such people forever. The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men. Is that not our culture? The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men. What has changed? You know what? I'll tell you something huge has changed. The coming of Jesus and the giving of the Comforter. Amen? For us, monster change. For the world, nothing's changed. Sin runs rampant. David's view of the world, it sounds just like today. Godlessness, faithlessness, lies, flattery, insincerity, violence, oppression, wickedness. Everything's changed with Jesus, amen? Because we abandon all these things. David also knew where to put his trust. We're going to jump over to Psalm 28 before we finish up this morning. Psalm 28, also very impactful. He knew where to put his trust. To you I call, O Lord, my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you remain silent, I will be like those who have gone down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands towards your most holy place. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, who speak cordially with their neighbors but harbor malice in their hearts. Repay them for their deeds and for their evil work. Repay them for what their hands have done and bring back upon them what they deserve, since they show no regard for the works of the Lord and what his hands have done. He will tear them down and never build them up again. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield, amen. My heart trusts in him. I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be the shepherd and carry them forever. Amen. David has the right perspective when you look here. He wisely states, I will trust in him with all of my heart. That's what makes the difference. We trust in him. There was one lady at the store. Sometimes, you know, these jewelers, they go through price increases. And they think, oh, I know that ring is going to go up so much money by the time the certain dates hit. And sometimes the team will tell people, hey, today this piece is this much, but it's going to go up on this date. And sometimes clients think, you're full of it. That's just a selling technique. But I begin to think, if I were to lie, actually I would have bigger problems, amen? I'm not called to be a liar, I'm called to be a servant of God. So when we answer to the Lord, we always have to remember that people of integrity, we are to mirror that integrity in this world, amen? We are called. So where are we going to place our trust? Our finances, the next election, our education, our intelligence. When I was a kid, my mom used to say, how are you going to pay for that? Your good looks? Did your mom ever tell you that? That was so funny. I'm like, Mom, I want this and that. How are you going to pay for that? Your good looks? What are you going to put your trust in? Technology, precious metals, whatever it might be. We are called to put our trust in the name of the Lord. Amen. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name above all names, the name that causes every knee to bow and tongue to confess that He alone is Lord Jesus Christ. That is the confession we make today. Justified only by Him. Isn't that true? That's how you are the real deal in God's kingdom. Because there's a lot of phonies out there, isn't there? I remember a lady gave me, I probably told you similar stories before, but a lady gave me a fake watch, and she said, can you turn this in? It stopped working. I could tell it was fake, but she wanted me to put it in, and I put it in. The watchmaker sent it back. Let him do his work, right? I'll let the watchmaker do it. Send it with a nice little letter. This is not our work. I'm like, good. He justified it for me to tell her. This is not it. So then I let her know. It's back. It's not authentic. Watchmaker confirmed. And guess what? She did not rush down to the store to pick that watch up. She never picked it up. She never came back. And you know why? Because it was junk. And what do you do with junk? You don't pick it up. But what is God going to do for His church? He's going to come back for the most precious thing He owns, you. We are made in His image, so precious, so true, so wonderful. He's not going to say, oh, you're ready to be picked up? Nah. Coming back for us, amen. So the Gemological Institute of America sent me this beautiful little green stone. I say beautiful because it was gorgeous. I'm looking at this green stone. They didn't tell me what it was. I just have to figure out what it is, and I have to tell them. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, it's gorgeous. The green is distributed all over. It's a bright color. It's almost like a yellowish green. Looks too clean to be an emerald. Maybe it's a green garnet. I don't know. But guess what? I turned that stone on its side, and all the color disappeared. Isn't that crazy? I'm like, ah, I need to take a closer look. Grab my microscope. Ooh, I zoom in. I realize this beautiful little green stone that turns kind of ugly on its side and disappears, it's two pieces. It's the top part of the stone and the bottom part of the stone that has been sawed in half, and a green substance glue has placed in the middle and glued back together. So even though this is colorless and this is colorless, when you look at it straight on, it's gorgeous and green. It's not the real deal, though. May God look at us closely, amen? From all angles, may we invite Him to inspect our hearts and be genuine, Holy Spirit-filled, Bible-believing, letting the Bible shape us, amen, the real deal for Jesus Christ, hallelujah. And when He comes back, truly, may we be ready for Him. And that's what we need to have as we live a born-again life in His Spirit. Let's stand and pray. Father, thank You for Your goodness. We honor You this day. We honor You this day, Lord, to truly serve You, Father. We're reminded this morning, Lord, that may we not affirm ourselves, but may we be transformed by Your Spirit. Father, we thank You for the work You're doing in our lives, and continue that work even when it's uncomfortable. Amen? Even when it hurts, even when it doesn't come naturally to us, even when it's like we want to fight against You, Lord. May You have Your way in the name of Jesus. And not only that, Lord, but may we remember that we are called to be born again. The kingdom of heaven is created for such as those. Hallelujah. And may we always put our trust in the name of the Lord. Father, forgive us of our sins. Keep us close to you always. Impact our families for you, Lord God. Let us always remember that your Spirit is here to convict our hearts and turn our hearts to you, to turn from sin and to turn to you. And Lord, may we truly be changed people this day as we spend time together, as we talk with each other, pray with each other, and we go forth from these walls today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.